Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, here with another installment of the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Yes! And if you listen to this podcast, well, yes, you know I'm very, get excited, elated, thrilled, really, because this is another one of my scams where I have befriended someone on the internet and then somehow got them in my presence. And the next step is I need to get into their home, okay? And I've done this. I did this with Otsko. I will come to your home from the internet, so you better be ready. And I know you got multiple homes. I'll be reading about them on Twitter. Okay, today we have a very special guest on the show. He's a writer, director from the Bay Area. Okay, He's written for many TV shows, including All Rise, 68 Whiskey, and more. He has a book titled Roadside with Chicago Review Press out at the end of the year. Congregation, please welcome Dylan Park Pettiford to the show.
Hey.
Hi, Dylan.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being had.
It's been a long time coming. I feel like we've been talking about this for a couple years now.
Yeah, I think the better part of the better part of a couple years, yes.
So
we finally did it. Our schedules finally aligned.
We're doing it.
The stars, the mess. Because I was so intrigued. Like, you have such a great Twitter persona. If y'all don't listen, we don't know how long Twitter gonna be alive.
Yes.
The ship is very much sinking. The water is rising.
It's on the way out. I think we're on Threads now, right?
I haven't gone over there yet because they said that if you get a Threads, that it's connected to your Instagram. So the only way to get rid of the Threads is to delete your Instagram. And I was like, ooh.
Hey, they scamming over there.
Right. They said, you're going to be here forever. They said, once you sign up, it's over for you. I was like, okay, that's a lot. I don't know if I want to be there forever.
That's true.
Sometimes I like to get rid of things. But I will say, if you do have a Twitter still, and we will not be calling it X, okay? This is a black show. Okay?
Yeah, we don't do that.
We call you what your mama named you. Twitter. But if you have one, follow him on Twitter because it is quite entertaining always. Truly.
Appreciate that.
You got a mouth on you.
I be getting in so much trouble.
Dylan, you be getting in trouble.
I have fumbled the bag several times.
Oh, no, not the bag.
But I've also gotten the bag on Twitter several times.
That's very true.
It evens out.
Yeah, because I was about to say, there was a solid maybe 3 or 4 months where every other day you were going viral for something. And I was like, Dylan, I know you're tired. I know those thumbs are weak.
And it wasn't always a good viral either.
To me, a viral is always,
that's true,
fun. Except for these ones that have been happening lately. I'm not going to talk about that because that lady fan base is evil. But we always ask on this podcast, what's your relationship to scams? Do you love them? Do you hate them? Have you ever been scammed? I mean, y'all are in for a gag with this episode. But we're going to get to that in a second.
Historically speaking, I come from a family of scammers. Maybe not scammers, but hustlers for sure. There's definitely been some scamming in there. Some folks are named Smith because their ancestors were blacksmiths, or some folks are named Johnson because they were the ancestors of John's son or whatever. My last name is Pettiford because my family has been petty for the better part of several centuries. You know what I mean? We've been stealing the petty cash. My pops was the biggest hustler I've ever known. He basically hustled his way out of poverty. It was pretty crazy. So when I was a kid, we were poor as hell. My dad was working as a janitor at some tech company. I grew up in the Bay, Silicon Valley. And he couldn't afford to go to, like, he had to drop out of Berkeley or whatever. He was a smart dude, but just couldn't afford school. But his best friend was this white boy who was going to law school, this white boy named Chip. And my dad was telling Chip about, like, how racist, like, you know, how racist it was at work and, like, how folks were treating him. And Chip was like, bro, you can sue these people. Like, you don't gotta take that.
Come on, Chip, I'll know. Yeah. He said, let's take a chip and a coin.
Yeah, so I believe the word is litigious. My pops got litigious. He started suing everything that moved, like, everything. Like, folks would look at him the wrong way. Oh, I'm gonna sue your ass. Like, just sued his way out of poverty. It was pretty impressive.
I love it. So, wait, did he work with Chip? Was Chip like, Chip's ahoy?
Yeah. Like, Chip was in on the scam. Like, Chip was like, you just tell me when you got a problem and we're going to sue him. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right. Chip said, let's get these cookies.
So that was, but again, you know, I'm from a family of scammers and hustlers. And
I don't know if that's a scam. Okay, maybe
that's not a scam.
Maybe after the first lawsuit sounds legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it technically is not a scam, but he was just kind of using the system against itself, right?
Which I love that. I'm all for that.
Yeah, you gotta do that. Let me think. Like, you know, my cousin, little Virgil, he was a writer for, like...
Do we need to bleep?
No, you don't gotta...
Little bleep bleep?
No. But, like, he was, like, a writer for, like, Master P and stuff like that. Mm. And I remember at my brother's funeral, little Virgil he sang, an original song at the end of my brother's funeral.
Wow.
And he was trying to sell CDs out of the back of his car. He's like, hey...
He said, never miss opportunity.
Yeah, I was like, come on, bro. Not at the funeral, man. Not at the funeral.
Now that he said, if that really moved y'all...
Exactly.
See me at the repass.
I swear.
I'm going to be next to the yams.
On everything, I was just looking at him like, come on, man. Don't do that. Not at the funeral. But again, you know, the folks in the Pettiford family are never skipping out on an opportunity to make a little coin. So I guess technically that's not scamming, but...
I mean,
there's some gray areas.
Creating opportunities.
Right,
with serial entrepreneurs.
Right.
Those
are
my favorite types of scammers. Now, I do have to ask, Lil Virgil, was the song good?
You know, that boy can sing, actually. You know, he's just a little on the old side now. He don't be, you know, he doesn't have that look anymore. So it's like, you know, it's like if, like, no disrespect, but like if, like, Bernie Mac walked in and was like, you know.
People are remembering Bernie Mac not fine, and I don't like that. Cat Williams brought it back and saying Bernie Mac was sexy. I didn't even look at him again because I had seen him in a minute. And I love Bernie Mac. I was like, you know what? He was kind of looking. Yeah, good, pretty smile. He was tall. Like,
know,
wait a minute.
I guess what I was trying to say
is Chicago two-step sexy. You know,
he's just on the other side of, you know, the downward
like
slope.
Like, he can't put the body oil and, you know, give us a D'Angelo.
Yeah, nobody's trying to, you know, he's like, is it Maxwell? No, not Maxwell. Who's the other homie that's like, is it Maxwell?
Genuine?
Genuine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, everybody loves Genuine, but man.
No, when I have to see Genuine, I'm not like, ooh, I want that. You know what? Genuine, you do not deserve them strays. Okay?
I'm sorry,
yeah,
my
you
bad.
Got good knees. You and Maxwell got great knees, and I'm proud of y'all. I think they're going on a tour. The TGT people got back together.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, hell, shit. I might check that out.
Well, yes. Scam!
Do you have an unemployed roommate at home? You know who I'm talking about. Children. Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs? I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price. Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks. Trying on shirts. This one's too hard. this one's too soft and it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have three different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hot! Well, let's get into our first segment here, Dylan.
Let's do
What's
it.
What's hot and fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams and the zeitgeist. Or more often than not, we get a letter from you all, as always. Snitch on your friends, family, enemies, and your cousins. Shout out to Lil Virgil.
My bad. My bad,
Virgil. ScamGoddess.com. Or ScamGoddess.com. Jesus Christ. At ScamGoddessPod@gmail.com. There we go. I know my email address. And again, that address is for scams. Stop emailing me other stuff in there. It's getting weird.
What kind of emails are you getting in there?
I get all types of emails. No. Like sometimes
What's the weirdest one you got?
Oh, the weirdest
one. Am I allowed to ask that question?
Yeah, you are, but I'm trying to think of like what it would be. I remember there was like an offer where somebody wanted to like pay me to come to their house. I would say that was pretty weird. Yeah.
How much was it though? Was it enough?
Not enough.
Not enough.
No.
Not enough.
No.
Yeah.
And also that just felt like a scam to me.
That's true. You know that's true.
Like I show up at a venue, but your personal no home, you wildin',
that
bro.
That is weird.
But I appreciate the audacity, like, to be like, you know what, let me just email her real quick, see if she could come to my house.
It was a homie? It was a dude?
No, I don't know. I don't remember the gender of the person. I just remember being like, what?
Yeah, that is pretty questionable.
Yes. Well, yes, but you know what? It could have been a good time. Who knows? I might have missed out on... Y'all know I don't eat house food, so who knows? But I could have missed out on a good time. Who knows?
It's true.
So... We need a fake name from this for this person, Dylan. It could be anything, gender. We don't care about that.
Josh Blackwell.
Josh Blackwell. Okay. So Josh Blackwell says, love the show, but I'll give you the flowers towards the end and get right to it. Okay, Josh, you be listening to the podcast. You know what's up. Also, shout out to Dylan's wife, Ms. Pedford. Because we talked before the podcast started. And I love that she's excited that you're here because I am too. So I love that. Hey, Miss Mama. Hey, what's up, girl? I hope you're having a good commute, girl. Yes. Okay. Hit all them green lights. Amen. So Jack Blackwell. Is that what we said? Blackwell?
Yeah, that sounds good. Jack Blackwell. I like
Jack
that.
What was it?
I said Josh Blackwell. But
Josh Blackwell.
Jack Blackwell sounds better, though.
Jack Blackwell, I know, I think I blacked it up more. Josh Blackwell says, so I've been applying for a second job recently because these student loans are stressing me out. The scam of the century. I know that's right. I've been looking at remote-only positions, and let me tell you, the scams abound. So I have to say, like, this is a really good one that they got, especially millennials with, after, like, we decided the pandemic was over, even though it's not.
Right.
And the numbers are rising again. Y'all, please wear a mask when you're traveling.
Right.
If you feel sick, stay home. Come on now. So remote jobs, like once we realized how much could be from home,
right,
people were like, oh, wait a minute. Especially millennials. We was like, now, wait a goddamn minute.
Yeah, why do I got to go to work?
Because now I don't got the, like, commute. I only got to look business professional from the waist up.
Exactly.
Okay, roll out of bed, throw on a blazer, click on the Zoom.
Right. You know,
I can be on mute doing hella other shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember there's so many viral videos of people taking videos of themselves on Zoom at work, which I was like, y'all, social media, y'all snitching on yourselves. You don't need to. That's what you have group chats for. Why are you putting it on the internet? Now your employer go see it when you go viral. Like, be serious.
Man, I've done that so many times.
you
know, I was... You know, short story. I was working. I was in law school for a second. I was working for the DA's office, and There was a case where, you know, one of the people on the stand had Tourette's, and I was in the courtroom, and this man was on the stand just saying all sorts of wild stuff, and I was in the back crying, laughing, and I was live tweeting it because this
Dylan,
this dude was on the stand talking about nipples and butts, and you know,
what was the trial about?
Oh man, I can't even remember. It was like kind of something serious though. It was like I think it was like assault with a deadly weapon or something crazy.
Shit.
Yeah, and this, you know, this man was just on the set saying all sorts of wild stuff, and I was crying, laughing, and I was live tweeting it because I was just like, nobody's gonna believe this. And like a day later, I get called into the DA's office, and he's like, "What is this?" And I was like, "Oh man, I could not tweet this. Like the man's talking about his nipples are itching and stuff. You know what I mean?" And like the attorneys are like crying, laughing. I'm crying, laughing. Like, come on, bro. And I got written up. But I mean, I get it. I get it. You know,
I don't worth it a little bit. Worth it.
I told on myself, but it was worth it.
That's so funny too. I bet you like Gen X and the boomers are so sick of working with millennials where they're like every other day, I feel like HR is like, now who on TikTok again? God damn. All right, bring them in. Like,
because
it's just us. Gen X is that, I guess like they might be on Facebook saying something, but that rarely goes super viral. And if it's going super viral, it's because somebody has snatched it off of Facebook and put it on Twitter and then put it on
That's
TikTok.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for us, I know they are sick of our shit. I'm sure there are so many new policies that they have, like where they sit everybody down and they're like, hey y'all, and so welcome to your onboarding training. We want to first start with, please do not live tweet, go on live on any platform, take videos and post any platforms of our work meetings. You are not allowed to Snapchat from the bathroom. Like, it's just like, they're like,
Matt, when HR finds your Twitter, like HR found my Twitter account. And this was actually a different job, too. They found my Twitter account. They sat me down and they went through all the tweets. They were talking about like, oh, Dylan, you're on here talking about hoes and all sorts of crazy
Not
stuff.
Not you had judgment day early.
Yeah, man, it was wild. I was like, but the thing is like,
God, I
can't put my stuff on private. I need the world to see. You know what I mean? It's an ego thing. It's an ego thing. And you know, sometimes you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Right. I mean, listen, I'm with you on that for sure. I mean, I did see a video that went viral recently of a woman who was taking video of herself getting fired. Did you see that one?
No.
She took a video of her getting fired and basically caught the company saying that the only reason that she was getting fired is because they were doing last in, first out. So, which basically is a policy that if you're the last to be hired, you're first to be fired.
Right.
And she was like, when they were firing her, she was like, well, my productivity has been the strongest on my team, you know, since I've been here for the past 3 months. And like pointing out, you know, how much, you know, she had done for the company versus like, you know, maybe her like contemporaries or whatever. And then eventually like HR just like, they were spinning the block with bullshit answer. Then finally they just said like, okay, girl, so this is the policy. And she was like, bitch, but she was videotaping all of it and put it on TikTok and it went viral.
How'd
like,
that go? Did she get litigious?
I mean,
can you sue?
I don't know who sues in that situation, but I do know that, like, if you want future employment, I don't think
That's
you want to go
true.
Viral taking videos of your employers, former or current.
What was the job?
I don't know. I truly don't know. Something where she was productive. Something where she was
not productive enough, though.
Right. Okay. Somewhere where she was like the margins, or I don't know, you know, whatever corporate lingo we want to use. But yeah, so, oh, wait, so back to Josh Blackwell.
No,
listen, we love a tangent. Please lean in, okay? They live for it, okay? Some of them don't, but they've learned. They've learned to live with it. But most of them love it. That's what we do here. Yeah, no, it's been 4 years. Y'all know what this is now. So Josh says, I keep wanting to call him Jack. Josh says, so I've been applying for a second job, you know, because of student loans and things like that, like I said earlier, and the remote scam, you know, I've been looking for remote.
Right.
And I get that because we're all looking for remote. Like the people older than us, like they were itching to get back to the office.
It was weird.
They were like, we want water cooler talk. We want human connection.
Nah.
We like, y'all need to get some fucking friends, bitch. Carol from HR, we are not homies.
Seriously.
I don't want to talk
weird.
About what y'all watched on TV, especially if you're a person of color or a black person. I do separate the two. Work is oftentimes the place where we get the most racism and the most like microaggressions. And,
right.
and I don't even like calling it a micro anymore, because if you're like constantly being derogatory to my humanity, that takes a toll on your soul and your spirit. That's not micro
right.
to me.
Absolutely.
But that's what happens every day in person at work with, you know, the chips and the chads. Like, they love to come over and other you real quick or touch your hair or say something like, you must know a lot about that, Lacey. Your family's from the hood, right? Like, you know, just all kinds of weird
shit.
Who do
I gotta fight, Lacey? Are you under distress right now?
Listen.
Who's mistreating you right now? Who I gotta
who
fight?
Who hasn't? Okay.
I'll fight him.
Who hasn't? But that, you know, all that stuff really did and does happen
absolutely.
To me. Like,
absolutely.
A white man let it come up and joke in my face, talk about, yeah, well, you know, because you're from the hood. I'm like, what made you think that? What made you? It ain't nothing wrong with being from the hood, but you just assume because I was black, I must be poor. But sometimes I let people believe that. That's my scam. I'm like, yeah, you know, when we was dancing in the rain to get Little Saint, the community center. Do not look up the plot if you got served.
Not dancing in the rain.
When I went to that HBCU and then my brother, he was real good at spinning on his head, but then he had died. But then we had to stomp the yard. yeah, that's my life.
Oh,
when Ricky
got
shot, he was finna have a high school scholarship for football. But then the family was in disrepair after that. We was Ricky! Sometimes you gotta leave.
That still makes me cry. Not Ricky, man.
It makes me laugh now because too many people have done it. Like, oh gosh! But you know what? Go Morris Chestnuts. Too fine. So back to this. See, now I went on a tangent. So you know, trying to work from home. I get it. We all get it. So, Josh says, I received an email today. First off, the guy had me blind copied in this email. And then he talks about this position in the vaguest way possible. He lists the position as being remote data entry / customer services. Now, that could be anything from like billing and coding to like OnlyFans because
that's
I'm doing
broad.
The data remote and I'm doing customer service on OnlyFans. Doing the same thing.
Technically, titties are data.
You know, you got to upload them.
Exactly. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's
and you got to do customer service. You know, you got to interact with customers' content. You know what I mean? To like billing and coding. You know, you're uploading people's insurance and, you know, maybe you have to talk to some customers. It could be anything. Also, Josh was saying these are two very different things, which, yes, they are. He then tells me I'm kindly required, in quotes, and Josh says, to download Microsoft Teams and gives me a whole step-by-step on how to add some other guy and gives me a link to talk to him so I can interview. Now, whenever I start to see weird language in professional emails, like
kindly
required.
Yes, kindly is the one.
Because what does that mean?
That's a Nigerian scam right there.
Am I required or no? And what's the difference between kindly required and like what, meanly required?
Right.
Angrily required?
Kindly, that is probably like the key word. If someone says kindly, it's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
I want to add kindly required to my lexicon because I have that. And then there was a scammer email that I got that was like, yours digitally.
Yours digitally.
Yes.
That's a good
digitally
one.
Yours. That's what it was. It was digitally yours. And I was like,
I'm
that. Keeping that.
Oh, that's yeah, I like that. That's
kindly
a good one.
Required and digitally yours. Those are the new scam bops. I love it. Also, I hate Microsoft Teams. Unless they sponsor the podcast, then I love Microsoft Teams. It's my favorite. But anytime I see I got to like in my calendar and it says Microsoft Teams, I'm like, you know what it is? It's because every time you get on there, they got a new update.
Exactly.
I ain't never seen somebody with a new
I like to get in there at the last second. You know, when you sign on, they got you downloading the update. It takes 45 minutes and you're late to the meeting. You look like, see, I don't like all that.
Every single time.
And every time.
I'm like, how many updates do you need? I swear I opened this last week. And they're like, we got some new shit for you on Microsoft Teams. You know what? Maybe they're constantly innovating it. I'm wrong.
That's true.
Okay? But so they said download Microsoft Teams and then add some other guy to do an interview. And Josh says, why the hell are you talking to me if I got to go to a friend, David, and ask him to tell me about it? So who are you, David? Also, you're blind copying me, which is telling me that you're sending this email to multiple people.
Also true.
Yeah,
also true.
Because how you gonna reach out to me for a job opportunity is BCC. How many opportunities are you handing out?
Yikes.
That's too many tunities. It's supposed to be one for me.
That's too many tunities.
It's okay. Way too many tunities. It's supposed to be for me.
Right.
Just me. So, you know, already Josh is like, red flag, red flag, red flag. We're at the Grand Prix, right? So, and this is another question Josh asks. Josh says, and why do I need a link to add this guy on Teams? That's not how Teams works. Right. He got the old version because that's not how Teams works. So when I first saw this email, I was glancing at it on my phone and I fell for it at first. Thankfully, I saw the red flags for what they were and I looked at it a second time. When I looked up this Trevor Densbier guy, oh, well, that's a new name. Trevor Densbier. So David was the one who sent the BCC email. And then David was like, now you got to pull up on my homie Trevor Densbier. And Trevor is the one who gonna do the Microsoft Teams meeting. So Josh said, I found other people talking about this being a scam. It does seem like people are changing the names of people and the name of the company a bit. So to any other congregation members, job searching, stay safe. I attached a screenshot of the email for you. Okay, maybe Trevor Dinsbier is the company. No, it's a guy. Trevor Dinsbier is a guy. It says Trevor Dinsbier guy. Oh, and there's some nice stuff here. Thank you so much, Josh. Love you so much. And I do want to read this email real quick, and then we have to get into the tea. But I just want to see this screenshot to see, like, if there's any other weird thing. So I pulled up the email. So the email's name is Trevor Dinsbier. Okay, and I won't say the rest because we're not going to put you out there. The company is called Compass Group, but apparently the name changes constantly, so maybe look out for that. So it says, Dear applicant, I am Trevor Dinsbier, contacting you regarding your interest in remote data entry / customer service position. The pay is $35.75 an hour. We are impressed by your background. See, I would have already been on alert when they said the pay is $35.75 an hour.
It's a weird number.
Yeah. And also, like, typically, when you're, like, interviewing, companies are actually shadier than that.
Right,
like, they
right.
won't tell you how much you're
exactly.
going to get paid. They be like, how much you want to be paid? How much do you think you're worth?
Yeah, they hit you with a big old switcheroo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make you take that low number.
Right. How much do you think this job should cost? Because
right.
they always know they can lowball that way because you want the job, so you want to be within the data range. But at the same time, like, that's how they get you.
You see this thing about cover letters, it's kind of going viral right now. Like some
was it that one HR lady who was talking about cover letters?
Yeah,
yes.
And like everybody came at her. It was pretty funny. And then one homeboy called it. He's like, "Lady, look, I'm not gonna write you a whole fan fiction about why I want to work at your job. Just give me the job or not." And I was like, "Yeah, that's right. actually a good way to put it. Fan fiction is because like I didn't know about your job, you know, 45 seconds ago. Like this is why am I gonna write a whole ass essay about?" Well, I want to work here. Just give me the job, lady.
And there's a famous TikToker. She does, I think it's called Corporate Erin, where she talks like she's in corporate and
yeah.
she holds a cup
oh,
and
God.
She does all these mannerisms and we're circling back. And, you know, like,
yeah.
but this woman on the video sounded exactly like Corporate Erin. And people were like, oh, my goodness, like, this is a real person. Woman
crazy.
On TikTok is literally spot on, like, everything, the accent,
right,
the
right.
clearing the throat constantly. It was amazing. It was a tour de force. But yeah, I'm not writing fanfic to get your job. And she was also being so specific. She was like, well, if I don't see your special skills right at the top underneath this ledger, then, you know, I'm not going to keep looking
at it. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, look, lady, I'm filling out 100 applications. I don't got time for this.
And one thing I always thought, you know, that was just unique to like being on the more entertainment side of you know, profession is that we are constantly having to like perform to get a job. It's
100%.
Like, oh, a sample or, you know, let me memorize tons of lines and put up lighting in my house and get a friend
right,
to
right.
videotape me or go to the studio and pay for an audition, you know, just to submit it.
It's crazy.
And then if they're like, oh, we like you, you got to go to more auditions and then you got to go to more auditions. Then maybe we'll call you. And that's just what we do. Like,
and it costs a lot of money.
It does.
It's time and money. It's crazy the hoops they have folks
yeah,
jumping
it's
through.
It's time on your soul. Like, literally, I got to the point where my ritual is that I'll do an audition, I'll throw away the slides. Now, it's starting to cost me paper, so now I'm kind of putting them in a corner just in case
right,
I get
right.
a call back. But I put them away because I'm like, that's over. That was just a fun little exercise. I don't hope for the job. I don't talk about it. You know, I'm like, if somebody call me, cool. If they don't, whatever.
You still acting?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah?
Yes, I do all the things.
I'm gonna get you on
what
the show.
What do you mean you still acting, bro?
My bad.
That's the last thing you want to hear after a damn strike. Is you still acting, bro? I had two shows. I was on two different. I was on Lopez versus Lopez.
Okay, my bad,
I was
my
on
bad.
iCarly.
I'm sorry.
I was on Little Demon. Now I'm about to recite my whole motherfucking IMDb because I can't believe you played in my face like that, Billy Petty Part. But you are playing with me.
I'm gonna get you on the show.
I'm getting up out of my seat. I'm taking off my headphones. We finna fight. Put your hands
She's
up.
She's choking me.
It's the first time I've ever choked a guest. We had to get violent up here. I'll catch
you
in the parking lot.
I'm gonna get you on the show.
I can't believe this. Now you're talking about I'm gonna get you a job. I'm gonna get you some employees.
I'm gonna get you on the show.
I can't believe this. Wow. Not me catching all the strays. Damn. I'm like, Ricky, I just got oh my goodness. Well, so, you know what? I'm gonna finish this email.
You're about to fight me,
you
man.
You know, life be
please
really humbling you at every turn.
Judith,
you never know
help.
When life is going. You can't save. You see,
she's threatening
me. Okay. I cannot believe this. In my house,
in front of my salad? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Producers, wow. Y'all see what I be having to deal with,
y'all? Producers are looking at me crazy. They want to jump me, too. I might not make it out of this building.
Ooh, listen, we get gag out here. We know where you parked. We know exactly what floor. So Trevor Dinsmore, you know, he gives the salary. That's weird. And then he says, we are impressed by your background and would like to invite you for the job briefing and interview. You need to make contact with the hiring manager through Microsoft Teams. Also, know how jobs really work. Like, if you, what do you mean I need to make contact? You should reach out and send me the link. So it says, you are kindly required to download the Microsoft Teams from the Google Play Store / Apple Play Store. Once done, not you telling me to go to Google or Apple Play Store. Also weird. Once done, create a profile for yourself and add the HR manager, David Landis. So Timothy actually was the one who reached out, and then David was the one who you got to add. But they're saying that this might just be the same person. He just adds different names as like Sasson.
Right.
So, you know, then there's all the links and all this stuff. And then send him a message regarding the interview process. Your interview code is, and then there's compass and a number. So, yeah. And then it says the hiring manager, Mr. David Landon, will let you know more about data entry / customer service position. Now that we have spelling and typo errors here, there's like a comma. Things are too close together. Those are things you should be looking for. And then it says, and about the company and the position we have available for you to occupy. Now you just trying to use words you think are corporate.
Yeah, now you're just hitting the thesaurus.
The position we have available for you to occupy.
Yeah, that's
what?
A lot of passive.
You could have just said the position.
That's not the grammar.
He said that don't sound professional enough, the position. No, I'm going to say the position we have at corporational. Per my last email, circle back, occupy.
Warmly.
Quarterly. that's it.
Warmly.
Warmly and quarterly. And then it says, if you have any questions, feel free to if you have any questions or require further information, please feel free to reach out to me. Now, you just said you don't got no information. You said I got to go to the other man for information. What you mean? And it says, have a wonderful day. Best regards.
Oh, no, not the regards.
But the best ones.
Yeah. Kindly and regards. Those are the two. That's a Nigerian scammer if I ever knew one. You know what? I got a little Nigerian blood in me. I know it.
You can feel it in your spirit.
I can feel it in my bones.
I love that for us. I sometimes say best wishes, or I'll say best. I feel very weird at the end of emails. Now I just say thank you.
I just be saying my name.
Or I just put my name or it's a symbol on my iPhone.
Dylan, peace.
All right. No regards.
Yeah. Nah. You get a Dylan.
Not find me well.
Yeah.
Don't ask that shit again. Yeah. Y'all, we talk about the job scans all the time, but this one was a little different because typically it'll be like, oh, work from home. Here's an e-check. Go deposit it. We're going to, just actually steal money from you or go buy some gift cards and then you can do this remote secret shopper thing. But you got to take a picture of the bag and send that to us, for the technicalities and the occupations.
So did homie Josh get scammed?
No, Josh didn't.
Okay,
Josh
okay,
didn't do
good,
it.
Good,
Josh
good,
said
good,
they
good.
Realized the red flags and they were like, oh, this good, is too good to be true.
Good.
But at the same time, I get it. When you're on the job hunt, you're vulnerable.
Yeah,
you have a need.
It's stressful.
And people are exploiting that need, especially in the job market right now.
Stressful.
Yeah, so y'all just stay on your 10 toes, okay? If the email's got misspellings, if they're asking you to go to Google Play Store, like, I ain't never had a job ask me to go to a Google Play Store. That's wild. So
that's crazy.
Right? I don't think you're supposed to be over there. I don't think that was right. Robbery!
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green, and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream, and I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving Rish, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
But that brings us to my favorite segment of the show, which is historic hoodwinks.
Oh boy.
Yes. And this is a very special episode because this historic hoodwink is actually something that happened to Dylan.
It did.
It went super viral on the internet. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then it comes back viral again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because of how wild it was. And
I'm going to preface this by saying that Seth Rogen wanted me to tell the story on his podcast. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Sorry, Seth.
Yeah, my bad, Seth. My bad. But we're going to make the show, though.
See, respond to my booking inquiry, Seth, and you wouldn't have these types of problems, okay?
Oh, no. Seth not hiring you? Oh, I got to have a word with Seth.
Why are you saying Seth is not hiring me?
My bad.
Why is this man trying to make me broke? I have 7 jobs, Dylan. I can't believe you're going to come on a Black Woman podcast. I have 7 jobs. I have a book coming out, Scam Goddess.
Yes,
I got a TV show. You know what? I ain't even supposed to talk about that. I don't even give a fuck no more because now that Dylan done pissed me off.
I'm just trying to.
How is this nigga not know? I have 7 damn jobs.
Bad.
He talking about Seth
man.
Not hiring you. No, bro. I was trying to get Seth
You're
to
like,
come
I'm not
on
hiring,
the podcast.
I'm not hiring Seth.
That's what I exactly.
My blunder. I am messing up.
I just can't believe
this. You know
what?
Cut this out.
No, no. We leaving it all in.
No, cut it out.
We leaving it all in. All of it.
I done messed up.
All of it. I know I said you could cut anything you wanted, but not that.
I done messed up.
And you messed up twice. See, this is what Dylan thinks about me. He thinks I'm broke and unemployed.
Hey,
I got no jobs.
It's only 2 strikes. It's only 2
he
strikes.
Came in here, he was like, who let you in here? Like, yeah, I scammed this whole thing. Nobody even knows I'm here. Sirius don't even know I'm up in here.
Actually would be a funny scam, but...
But anyways, back to you, Dylan.
Man, crazy. You know, should I just get into it, or...
Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to preface it up top here, since this is something that some of you may not have heard. But Dylan, who our guest, a writer and former military member, which is important, worked in an American military comedy drama called 68 Whiskey alongside another former military writer. Mm-hmm. However, this former ex-Marine captain turned out not to quite be entirely who she claimed to be. And I feel like we need a fake name for this person so we can just call her.
Okay, how about Mary? Mary the Marine.
Mary the Marine. And then later we'll call Mary MC, the Marine captain.
Okay,
so
okay,
Mary
okay.
the Marine. Okay, so that's... So Mary the Marine didn't turn out quite so... We have, like, a full breakdown of, like, what you shared on the internet and stuff like that. So I want to ask you questions about everything. So, like, the day that it started... you were sent a script for a show staffing veterans who mm-hmm. also had a comedy background, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that is that how you kind of got into 68
Whiskey? I was sent a script, a military show, and it kind of fit the bill. It was like this dark comedy, and the creators, Roberto Benabib, he was one of the lead writers on that show, Weeds, which was a classic, mm-hmm. And Dave Holstein, another great guy, they were the creators. They invited me in for an interview, and they said, you know, we're interviewing all these veteran writers, but nobody really has that, like, sense of humor we're looking for. And I was like, Well, it's a good thing you found me, because that's really, you know, this is what I be doing.
Yeah, he got jokes, clearly.
So, yeah, so I...
he didn't have jokes all damn day. All the jokes.
So, you know, so I razzle-dazzled him in the interview. They hired me, and I asked if there were any other veterans staffed in the room. And they said, we have one more veteran.
Yes.
And they...
And her resume was impressive, right? She was a Cuban Jewish gay Princeton graduate. And on top of that, she was a former Marine captain with four tours, a Bronze Star, and a Purple Heart.
And she spoke five languages.
Okay, apparently. Five of them things.
Yeah, so she said she's...
No free time.
It was English, Hebrew, Russian, Pashto. Like, it was like just... Oh, French... Spanish. I don't even know how many languages that is. But, you know, I saw her resume and I was like, are you sure you guys need to hire me? Because, like,
she can do it all.
This chick is Captain America. Like, I was actually like, I mean, I was a little intimidated. Like, she was my hero before I even met her. I was like, I can't wait to meet this woman on day
one. So you didn't doubt this woman's abilities. You just doubted mine on this podcast. But but for her, when you saw it on paper, you know, we've been speaking it face to face. But you was like, wow,
I am so impressed. I was not doubting anybody's abilities. I was just saying, you know,
I think it called me ugly.
What had happened, you know, run the audio back.
We don't have to get into it. We don't have to get into a deal. But so you're impressed with MC. You're impressed with
Marie. I was impressed with her. I was very impressed.
Okay. And so Mary, also Marine captain. Yeah. She claimed to be fluent in the six languages.
Six languages. Yeah. So, it's crazy.
You named all of them except for Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah. Pashto. Yeah. Afghan.
Oh, Pashto. Yeah. So like, yeah. Pashto is primarily spoken in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Right, right. Yeah. And you're on. Okay. Yeah. But so she says she could speak all the languages. She could talk to everybody. Love that for her. Okay. She even offered translation services for the show if anything needed to be translated into Pashto.
Right, right. Yeah, it was, you know, we walked in and she was like, because we did have some Pashto lines in the show. And she said, you know, to save time, you know, just send me the lines that you need translated. I'll do them in my office hours and I'll bring them back like the next day or, you know, after lunch or whatever the case. And we're like, oh, thank you so much.
She'll do them in her office hours.
Yeah.
She couldn't just do them right there.
No, she was hitting the Google translations.
You cannot use Google translations. It's not accurate.
But the thing is, it was actually a perfect scam because none of us spoke Pashto. So how do we know she's scamming us? Not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like she could have been in there saying all sorts of weird stuff and we wouldn't have known because nobody spoke the language. So,
but it's going to air on television.
But it was perfect, though. Like, it was such a good, it was just in the room. It made sense. It was such a good scam. Wamboozled us.
Because immediately when you tell me I'm going to the other room to translate, I'm thinking you're going on Google Translate. If you put something in Google Translate in a language and you want to see it in English, like, you may not get the context, but you might get close to, like, what they mean.
Right,
but
right.
If you put something in English in Google Translate and try to get any other language, even Spanish, it will not be right.
It comes out crazy.
Yes.
I mean, but it, you know, again, you know, you walk into a room and you're just not thinking about things like that.
Right.
You're not thinking about something, this girl scamming me about a language she speaks, right? It's just a weird lie.
Because why would you think that she's lying?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm the same way. But so the signs. Okay, so almost immediately there were signs that something was off, right? So, I mean, we didn't pick up Google Translate, but office hours, I get it. Like, especially in a writer's room, like, you don't want to waste that time.
Exactly.
If you already know what the line is, it's like, okay, yeah, we'll translate it later. Like, you know, let's get to it. But on the first day of work... Your new coworker was 15 minutes late, which is like a little weird, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a weird tell, you know, because being in the military, there's a saying, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Like even coming here to this.
I was about to say, oh, no, were you 15 minutes early?
Oh, I was like 30 minutes early. I was up.
Oh, Dylan, don't tell me that.
I was eating all the snacks and, you know, drinking
all
the.
Okay, I'm glad you got some snacks.
You know, I got my ginger ale over here. Was, you know, chatting it up with some folks.
He's making deals.
You know what
okay.
I mean? You know, just rubbing elbows and meeting for networking and whatnot. But
opposite of the military. So I was 7 minutes late.
So she was late, you know, but again, it's the first day of work and we live in LA. So, you know, maybe she misjudged her commute, whatever. But it did kind of catch my attention.
Yeah, because that's not something that, so especially someone this decorated,
would just
be casually late. But then it's also like, were you guys riding at the lot, or were you like?
We were at the Sony studios.
Okay, so I would have gave her a little benefit then, because the Sony studio is far, and that lot is big as hell.
Yeah, like Culver City. It gets pretty crazy over there. Exactly.
Which I don't even understand why there's so much traffic in Culver City. Who lives there?
I'm trying to buy a house in Culver City, man.
That's what I'm saying is residential. What I mean is, like, there's not like a ton of businesses. It's
that's
like
true.
Residential.
Yeah, it's like Sony is the one business out there, the big business. But she was actually late, you know, every day. And it became a thing. And
every
every day. It was wild. It was wild.
Wow. Wow. So when they began to review the script, Dylan, you immediately had several edits while she didn't have many.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a first day of work. Roberto says, you know, he looks at me and Mary and says, so like technically speaking, like militarily speaking, like how is it? Like, is everything good? Like jargon wise? And I said no. And she immediately said yes, it was perfect. And so we're like looking at each other and I'm like, oh, like, okay, maybe she's brown nosing. Maybe she's trying to kiss his ass. Like, you don't want to tell the showrunner that his script is messed up on day one.
Right.
But
also, if that's what you're hired to do, exactly, they're going to be looking at you, you know, if they air it.
And this is really like my second writing job ever, maybe. And I'm telling the showrunner that his script is all wrong. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got a bullseye on me already, but I'm like, actually, the premise of the show doesn't even really make sense if we're going to be honest, right? And he was like, well, what do you mean? And, you know, the show's about combat medics and, you know, some of his characters are, you know, driving in ambulances. Some of them are flying around in helicopters. Some of them are like nurses in a hospital. I'm like, these are all different jobs. Like none of these characters would be hanging out in real life. So like we got to pick one job and stick with that. And so he said, okay, well, which one would be like the coolest? And I said, obviously flight medics, like helicopters and stuff. That's cool as hell. And so Roberto said, let me call Ron Howard, see if we got that budget.
Oh, Lord. Now we got to call Ron Howard.
Oh, we called Ron Howard and Ron Howard's like, yeah, let's do it. That sounds fun. You know, let's
now,
get some helicopters.
Was MASH accurate then?
Yeah. I mean, MASH was accurate because, you know, they had helicopters coming into like the MASH or the dust off area. And so that made sense. And
okay,
that's kind of what we were trying to do. It was like a modern day MASH.
Because that's what it felt like, yeah.
Right, exactly. Trying to do modern day MASH, but with like cursing and nudity and things like that. So
they call Ron. So now you've given a note that has led all the way up to Ron Howard.
All the way, like day one. And I'm just messing. Everybody's looking at me like, who the hell is this kid?
Right.
And
I'm messing, just got your badge.
Yeah, exactly. I'm messing everything up. And, you know, they're talking about, so Roberto says, like, well, what kind of helicopters would we need? And homegirl says, she looks at him dead in the eyes and she says, Hueys. And I'm like, wait, hold on, time out.
Okay. Well, at least she knew the name of a helicopter, because
exactly,
I would have said fast ones.
And
ones that go thuk, 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 thuk.
So yeah, so I'm like looking at her like, well, that's not like, because I was confused.
So
was
what,
like,
is a Huey?
A Huey
so
is like a Vietnam-era helicopter. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're watching, like, a Vietnam
And they
movie.
Stopped making them in 1987.
Yeah, they stopped. I mean, like, technically we still have them, but it's more for, like, air show stuff and, like, you know, like, VIP transport. It's kind of just for show now, but, like, okay, I haven't seen a Huey in service. I mean,
anybody doing a wars in them.
Exactly.
Like, the equivalent of that would be, like, if we, Like what? If we were doing like a drag race and I had like a car that was like from Greece?
Right, exactly.
Like if I was like doing a Formula 451 and like everyone else is like in race cars and I'm like driving the shit that like Sandy had.
Exactly. It's exactly what, no, seriously, that's exactly what it is. So I'm looking at her like, what is this woman talking about? Mm-hmm. I'm like, sir, is this show, is this a Vietnam era show? Did I miss that? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, then that's not right.
Dylan!
My bad! I wanted it to be accurate.
You've been mouthy here. You mouthy in this room. Now, I think what you were talking about with, like, the accuracy of the show, like, that is amazing. But, like, you definitely just undercut her in the room so hard and in the hilarious way. Are we doing this in Vietnam? No, it's current. Oh, okay, cool. And we probably don't want to try to get museum planes.
It got much worse, actually.
Ooh, that's nasty.
I got real. I was by the end of this whole debacle. We'll get into that.
Yes.
But so I, you know, I say, Roberto, you know, currently we're using Blackhawks and Pavehawks. That's, you know, it's like what we use. And so Roberto, you know, they do all, they look into the budget and they think at first they're just going to build fake helicopters and we'll shoot it on a green screen. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I guess they did the research and they realized that like actually shooting in real helicopters would be cheaper and it would look cooler. So we just decided to do that. So that was like day one. Like we're already having like this fight about helicopters, you know, and she's talking about how her unit, they flew around at Hueys in Afghanistan. And I'm just like, all right, this is weird. But again, she's the Marine Corps captain.
She leaned in on the Hueys and saying in her time in Afghanistan, they were using that.
And here's the thing is like, I wasn't in the Marine Corps. So maybe, and I know that the Marines always get the worst equipment. So maybe she, like, I was qualifying her lies to myself. You know what
and
I mean?
And now you shading other people in the military. I know the Marines are broke have no job.
They broke. You know what I'm saying? But it be like that.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're like, I'll let this go. Because she did lean in on it.
Right.
And I mean, I guess she kind of has to because if she says like, oh, you right, then it's like, right. Wait a minute.
Exactly. Exactly.
So she had to be like, no, we loved Hueys. Like, we was always in Hueys. Right. That was our favorite. I got a Huey tattoo. Hold on. Like,
you're like, right, right. I named my kid. My kid, Huey.
Two of my sons named Huey. It's confusing.
Right.
Yes. But that's how much we love him. So one of these stories that she told was about a young Afghan girl who had to pretend that she was a boy, right?
Right, right. So, you know, we're breaking down stories, we're breaking mm-hmm. stories, and Roberto's asking us about anything interesting that we, you know, went through personally in the military. And this, so Mary, the Marine Corps captain, is telling us about this story about, you know, it's in Afghanistan, like, obviously women don't have, or they didn't have the same rights that men do. So mm-hmm. oftentimes, if a family, if they don't have a son, they take the eldest daughter and they dress her up like a son and like basically pretend she's a boy so she can work and get jobs and make money, blah, blah, blah. And she's telling this heartbreaking story about this girl who had to pretend like she was a boy. And everybody in the room was like, we got tears in our eyes. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking like, this sounds familiar. Like, I feel like I've heard this story before, but I'm going to let her cook. You know what I mean?
Because it was like my Tales from the Hood earlier.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, I feel like I've heard this before, but.
And the little boy became a million-dollar baby.
Right.
Yeah,
so, she's telling like all these, you know, and she's interweaving like, you know, some Pashto and she's adding some flair here and there. Mm-hmm. She's talking about the history of Afghanistan and everyone's like oohing and on and impressed. And I'm like, God damn. All right. You got me. You know what I mean? Like, let me come up with some, let me try to remember some good stuff too. But
okay. So now it feels like you're still competing with this woman. I thought y'all would go link up and be friends, but this is completely adversarial. You were like, oh, she got a story about the young Afghan girl. Let me get my stories out. Hold on. I got stories too.
Well, I noticed that like
the petty was jumping out.
So whenever Roberto would ask me a question about, you know, he would say something like, well, what would happen in the situation? Like, what would the military do? Or what would you say? You know, what's the protocol? And I began to notice that she never answered first. She would always wait till I answered and then be like, yep, that's how we did it. Dylan's right. And every single time. And so I was like, all right, you know what? Like, something's going on here. This is like, something's fishy about this. And it's just like, it didn't make sense. She started one-upping me on my stories. It was, you know.
Because that's the only place that she could really fight was right. on the story territory.
Right.
Like, I'm sure she got home and she was, like, digging up stories. Because clearly, like, she didn't know much about the protocol or, like, the equipment that you guys used. So whenever she was questioned, she would pull rank and say that, I'm captain. I think I know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I was just about to say, you know, one time, you know, like, every time I would disagree with her, she would be like, well, what rank were you? And I was like, well, I was a staff sergeant. She's like, well, I was a captain. And where did you go to school? She said this. Where did you go to school? And I said, well, you know, I went to Arizona State. You know, not exactly a fine academic institution. But and she was like, well, I went to Princeton. So I think I know what I'm talking about. Like in front of the room. And I'm like, all right, goddamn.
That was wild.
Yeah, I was like,
I went to a little place called Princeton? Have you heard of it? Yeah, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I guess I'll be quiet then. Goddamn. Like,
sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. You know, have me saluting in the room and everything. It's crazy.
So then more red flags start to pop up, mm-hmm. like when asked about her military occupational specialty or MOS.
Right.
The Marine captain, Marie captain, Mary, what we call her? Mary captain, Mary, Marine Mary, captain. Yeah. So she says she didn't know.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, again, I was getting,
So what's the equivalent of an MOS in like some other job that you would have?
It's basically like let's say if like you, you know, you played for a football team, to make it topical. You know, like, you know your position. You're a quarterback or you're a linebacker or you're, you know, a wide receiver. It would be like asking, like, Patrick Mahomes, like, what position do you play, and him not knowing.
He's like, I do a little bit of everything.
Exactly, yeah. And that's exactly what you said.
Catching, so, some running.
Like, you know, I'm, you know, she's one-upping me. Like, you know, Roberto or Dave would ask me a question, and, you know, I'd be telling a story. Like, I was telling a story about, you know, the time my friend was shot by a sniper, right? Like, it's harrowing. Like, this is, like, the first time I ever saw, like, someone die, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, people in the room, they got tears in their eyes, and it's, like, dead quiet, you know? And I'm telling this like, heartbreaking story, and she says, well, one time, like, she cuts me off, well, one time, you know, my entire unit, we were all pinned down by 10 snipers or something crazy like that. And I'm like, what? And then so she cuts me off, hijacks my story, and starts talking about, like, how her unit's ambushed and they're taking fire, and everybody in her everybody in her truck is hit except for her, and she's dragging bodies and all this crazy stuff. I was like, God damn. Like,
so she tried to one up. You were like,
yeah,
talking about something real and
personal,
heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
This person that you obviously knew and had, you know,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, and then she said, well, he saw someone die. I saw everybody die.
Right. So
y'all didn't even know how many people had died when I had seen it. Like, that's so wild.
So I'm thinking, like, wait, time out. First of all, what is your job? Like, why are you, you know, why are you
captain?
You're a captain, number one. Why are you providing, you know, like, you know, medical help? Like, where is your medic at? And then she looks at me, she says, my medic got shot. And I was like, God damn. I was like, okay.
She said, remember when I said everybody died? Yeah,
exactly. I was like, okay, yeah. touche. And but then I was like, so, like, what were you doing out in the field? You know what I mean? It just didn't, like, a lot of it didn't make sense. So I said, what is your MOS, your job? And she says, I had a lot of MOSs, which is not the right answer. And I said, hold on a goddamn
second. That's the Mahomes answer.
Yeah.
I catch and I throw and I run. Sometimes first down, sometimes touchdown.
I was like, all right, well, that's not the fucking right answer.
I have Gatorade.
right. So I was like, all right, time out. You know, and that's, like, really when I knew
that it was something was off.
Things were fishy.
Yeah.
Things were real fishy.
I think we're beyond fishy now if you're saying, like, she didn't know her MOS is, like, a huge red flag.
And I started telling some of my coworkers, my homegirl, Katie Delaney, super funny. We actually should have had her in here while we were doing this. But anyways, I'm telling her, and Katie's, like, looking into it for me, and we're doing, like, this true detective thing where we're looking into this chick, and things aren't making sense. And, it was just, you know, but the other writers are saying, Dylan, don't do anything now. Don't rock the boat. You're going to get yourself fired. Like,
right.
you can't be
and
talking
you're new to this, like,
right,
Hollywood
exactly,
writer,
like,
staff room. And staffing jobs are very coveted positions
exactly.
in Hollywood.
I was the baby.
Now.
I was the baby. So they're like, they'll get rid of your ass and just find someone else.
Like, don't pipe up too much, little baby.
You're exactly. But I was like, no, I'm gonna get this chick. I'm gonna get this chick.
Now the pedophile is jumping out of the
right, game. Exactly. And then so one day, like, the thing that really, like, that the big red flag was one day we're breaking a story in the room, and I asked Mary, I say, like, I'm writing a line. I say, Mary, how do you say open the door in Pashto? And she says, you know, she looks at me like she's like a deer in the headlights. And she's like, well, she starts stuttering. She's like, well, I was like, Mary.
She's like, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, no, three words.
With my phone.
Yeah, no,
and
I'm
my,
like,
laptop.
I'm looking at her. I'm like, three words, Mary. Open the door real quick. Just gotta write this line and send it out. And she doesn't know. And she said, well, actually, you know, there's several. Or no, she says, actually, there is no word for door in Pashto. And I'm looking at her like, Mary, I've been to Afghanistan and I've seen a door with my own eyes. So you're telling me that this
no, they don't got doors over there.
Yeah.
That wasn't a door that you saw.
Exactly.
They ain't got no doors in Afghanistan.
Like, so you're telling me this centuries old culture, they don't have a word for door. They, like, they come up to a door and they don't know what to do.
Nah.
Like,
you know, because you got to think about it, like, from a spiritual sense. When you got a door, that means something can close on you.
Exactly.
And then when you know, people from Afghanistan, they don't believe in no closing doors.
No, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Because so that's bad for
your
spirit.
I'm like looking at her like, I'm just blinking. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? And I'm like, Mary, there's definitely a word for door. And she's like, well, no. I mean, yeah, there's several words for door. And I'm like, well, then give me one of them. I just need to send this line out.
You really trapped her. I don't know why in that moment she wasn't just like, you got to resort to some extreme. Is that my period?
No, she did. She really did, though.
No.
Because we're all looking at her. The entire table is looking at her, like, waiting for this answer. And she looks at her phone. She says, family emergency. I got to go. I'll be back. And runs out of the room. And we're all just looking at each other like, what was that? And in my head, I was like, that is the moment. I knew it. I was just like, this girl is a goddamn liar. She's lying, y'all. I knew it.
Because, okay, and so you also had some questions about when she did one-up your story, right, about the person that you were with, unfortunately, who passed away with the sniper fire. But you said that, like, she was a linguist. Why is she with infantrymen in the field, right? And so you were asking that. And then she got you with the, like, oh, my corpsman was shot. Everybody was shot. Okay. So then you asked her about, like, one a very simple phrase in Pashto. And, like, I speak Spanish, like, abre la puerta.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And just open the door.
Right.
And that would be something that you did not need to, like, go check how to, like, put the phonetics or type it or anything.
Exactly.
Like, it's super easy. So, and then she stuttered a bunch and then ran out of the room.
It was.
She should have ran out of the room immediately. As soon as you said, oh, what does open the door mean? I would be like, who died?
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's really what she, and we're all just sitting there. And it's like 5 minutes later, she walks back in the room and she's like, oh, by the way, this is how you say it.
Oh,
and
I'm like,
I'm going to fight this girl in front of everybody. Like, I'm a fighter. Like, there's no other options right now. Like, this is crazy.
Also, you have a phone in the writer's room. She could have easily been like, hold on, let me finish this email. And then just been on Google Translate right there.
It was
like,
crazy. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. So this is definitely the moment where you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So then there's another time that you said that you told a story about a suicide bomber.
Oh, yeah. So there was a suicide bomber on my base, and I'm telling this story. We used this story, I think, in one of the episodes of 68 Whiskey, but she immediately one-ups me again, and she tells a story about how before she went out on a patrol, one of her Marines was telling her that he gets car sick sitting in the jump seat. It was like the seat that's like backwards or whatever.
Yeah.
So she switched with him and, you know, a couple miles down the road, they drive over an IED and everybody in the truck dies except for her. So she's like saying,
so this is the second time that she's been in a car where everybody died except for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just like, that's convenient. So like everybody in this truck died and you walked away without a scratch. Like, that's crazy. And I'm just like,
also extremely lucky for this to have happened twice.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So this girl is like, she's really weird. She's like kind of quiet. That's another tell. Like, she was telling me she's an officer in the Marines, but we can never hear her. She's always mumbling. We're always telling her to speak up. Mm-hmm. She's like, had like a very meek mannerism about her, which is like nothing like I've ever seen of any Marine I've ever met, you know, especially an officer. They have to be loud and brash and like they have to know their stuff. And so this girl is just like very quiet and very like timid. And it just like things were not making sense.
Right.
It was crazy.
And you said that like when she was telling these stories that it would be taking up a lot of time, right? Because I know you're in writer's rooms, you're on a deadline. Like,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. We were starting to get annoyed because she would like take, you know, go off on these tangents and she would start taking a bunch of time. And it was getting annoying, right? Like we were all getting kind of annoyed by her. But again, you know, I remember there was one writer, I won't say his name, but, you know, I told him, I was like, this chick is lying out her teeth, man. Like she's just like everything she's talking about is a lie. And I was like, why is she so weird? And he's like, he said this, he's like, Dylan, you'd be weird, too, if you were in a Humvee that blew up and all your friends died. She has PTSD, bro. And I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, welcome to L.A. Welcome to L.A.
Right,
baby. You thought that was going. Dylan, why don't you have any empathy for this woman who had all her friends blow up like, and then the other friends that all got shot?
Like, touche. You know, like, what do you say to that?
What do you say to that?
I was like, all right, touche, man.
And also, Dylan, like, everyone doesn't process the same.
Right.
Like, I've seen a lot of, like,
the things
that you share online and stuff. So I know that you've experienced some challenges in life and you definitely had some extremely difficult situations that most people can't even, like, you know, relate to. But it's interesting in this context because You are absolutely right.
Right.
But conveniently, there are all these kind of loopholes and outs that this woman has been able to utilize. Mm-hmm. And you're the only person in the room who would know how a person in the military would act, right? You know that they wouldn't be 15 minutes late constantly, that they wouldn't be like someone who mumbled and spoke under their breath. Like, you know these things, but they don't.
Absolutely.
So they have no context.
One day, speaking of her being late, it's like, we're like 8 weeks into the room. One day she comes in an hour late and like everybody in the room is a sweetheart. Roberto's the biggest sweetheart. Dave's a sweetheart. Like everybody in the room, you know, they're non-confrontational.
Yeah.
This girl walks in an hour late and I'm like, Mary, what is your problem? Like, cause now we got to back up. Now we got to explain to you everything we're doing. And now you just wasted an hour of our time trying to catch you up. I was like, why are you late every day? What is your deal? It's rude. Like, I'm calling her out in front of the room because I have zero patience now.
Now, Dylan.
I'm like, it's full petty. Like, I'm like, petty is on 100. I'm calling her out and everybody's looking at me like, God damn. And I'm like, what is your deal? Like, you're just rude. And she says,
Dylan.
Well, she says.
This is Hollywood. We're speaking coded language.
I know. And she says, well, if you must know, My father has stage 4 cancer, and every day before work, I visit him at the home. You know, his home is right around the corner, and I visit him before I came to work. And you know, this morning he was having a really hard morning, and everyone's like, "Dylan, you jerk!"
Dylan,
and
I'm
like,
"God damn!" Every turn of this story, like, you look like the asshole,
I'm
and it's
like
so
an
funny.
Asshole, and I'm
you
like,
"You calling around? Yeah. Oh, she's a little weird, right?" And they're like, "You'd be weird too if you had all that trauma."
And I'm like, everyone's like,
why
Dylan,
are you
what
waiting?
The hell, man?
My
and
dad
I'm like,
is on the brink.
Yeah,
and you're like,
and like, and I'm like, shit. You know
she
what I mean?
She got your number.
Like,
dude, she I had, got a lover.
She had me hooked up, and I was like, damn. I was like, all right, well, let me just look at my feet now for the rest of the day, and I'll say a word, man. She had my ass. I was like, damn it.
Oh.
And everyone's like, Dylan, you jerk. And I was like, all right, fuck, my bad.
But like, so even this wasn't the moment though for you. For you, at least, you feel like the phone call when she ran out when you asked about the posh show, like that was really when you were over it.
Yeah, I think that was like the moment. And so I kind of took matters into my own hands. I went to my buddy James. He's a former Marine. Mm-hmm. He's an investigative reporter. And yeah, and he linked me up with the Pentagon. Like, yeah, he was like, we're taking this to the top. And I said, all right, let's do it.
The Pentagon?
It's the Pentagon, homegirl. He like,
this
so,
is a level of petty I have never seen
I'm
before.
Like, no, because I'm like, I'm going to figure this out.
Security
like one
clearance
way,
petty.
Yeah, so I'm going to figure this out one way or another. So I get on the phone with this lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps at the Pentagon, and he works in personnel. So if there's a person who can find out who this woman is, it is this guy. He's like, all right, just send me your info, send me your blah, blah, blah. And I'll give you a call tomorrow. And I was like, great. So we talked the next day. And he says, hey, Dylan, are you sitting down? And I was like, no, but I am now. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, so we looked into her. She wasn't a captain in the Marine Corps. And I was like, yeah, I didn't think she was. I was like, what rank was she? And he's like, oh, she wasn't in the Marine Corps at all. And I was like, oh.
She ain't none of the Corps?
Yeah, like, not, like, she didn't even, like, not even ROTC? Or
right,
like,
she didn't do the dance with the gun.
Yeah, right? You know what I mean? He's like, she's never, like, they did the deep dive. She's like, you know, she's never lived within 200 miles of Marine Corps base. All the dates.
Damn.
She said she was
deployed. Not putting hands on the map.
You know, they said all the dates. She said she was deployed. There's no records of her. She didn't go to Princeton. She went to the University of Memphis for a semester and studied music.
Oh.
You know, like we can't confirm if she's Jewish or not, right? So,
oh my goodness.
You know what I mean? Oh, actually, there was another thing. She said her grandparents died in the Holocaust, but again, that's like not something that, you know, they can really confirm or deny or whatever. And, you know, obviously they can't confirm or deny if she knows five languages. But he's like, her entire, like, all of this is made up. We scrubbed her social media, all the dates she said she was deployed. She's riding horses on a beach in Virginia. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Oh, like they're like, we have.
So they were also having fun because they didn't have to go that far. Oh. They didn't have to go to, if she wasn't deployed, where was she? Yeah. They done gone on Instagram and said, she was down here in Cabo riding the beach. Oh, she is parasailing. She was at the tequila bar. Right. She had 6 shots and 4 tacos. Like they did not have to get that.
They started having fun. They had the receipts, but they wanted to take it one farther. And they said, so you know what she's doing is a federal crime, right? I said, wait, what? And he's like,
not lock her up.
Yeah, he's like, she could do hard time for this. And I was like, time out. I was like, I was like, yeah, this girl's an idiot, but I'm not trying to see her like get a felony offense and like, first of all, she wouldn't last 2 minutes in Leavenworth. Second of all, like, I'm not a snitch. I'm just trying to find out who this woman is.
You're not a snitch? Because it's giving a little bit of snitch now. You could have let her cook. You could have been like, yeah, that's crazy. I had 7 MOSs too. And I have an MOS and an LEY. That's my last name.
She wins the story, though. She wins the story. So, I said, sir, I, you know, don't want to press charges. Just needed to confirm some things. We're not going to send this girl to jail. And so he's like, all right, I respect it. But I was like, I'm going to need.
So you didn't want to get litigious.
I didn't want to get litigious. So I said, but I'm going to need this on letterhead. I'm going to need the official letterhead.
So the seal. I want the one you can feel with your fingers.
With the Pentagon. You know what I mean?
Like the thick one, the
little pentagram on the top. Was it the pentagram? Or no, that's not it. Anyways.
But I know what you mean. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know my shapes. Hexagon?
Pentagon. It's a pentagon. You said pentagram is some Satan stuff.
Okay. Right. I knew it was one of those shapes. Anyway, so he emails me the letter, you know, saying blah, blah, blah. This chick wasn't in the military. I go to work the next day. I show my boss and he is understandably heartbroken. And when I handed that letter to the man, I felt so bad.
Felt bad because I was thinking he was going to get some Schadenfreude. I thought you were going to be
I felt bad because, like, Roberto's the type of dude, he wants to see the best in everybody. Yeah. And you could just see him. He was just so heartbroken.
I feel bad for women. You know how hard it is for women in writers' rooms to even, like, get the jobs? And then it's like almost like, when black folks all get blamed for something that a black person did, you know what I mean? It's like if one black person did it, then we all like you know when you watch the news and you hear something horrible happen, you just like, oh, I hope they ain't black. Just don't be black.
I mean,
then it's like white dudes get autonomy and it's like one of you can wear a hoodie and you're not a shooter and the other one is. You know what I mean? So it's like for women, it's kind of like that for us in Hollywood too. It's like you don't want to see another woman fail
I immediately felt like I was like, damn, dude, I could have just let this chick rock. And it like, you know, I felt bad. Like immediately. But then I thought, I was like, this chick is rich. Like she's wealthy. Like her parents are wealthy. So I didn't feel that bad. But it was, you know, so my boss took it to the top. You know, he took it to the television network. I won't say any names or whatever, but they had to investigate. So they couldn't just fire her.
Oh Lord.
So
here you go again.
So we're working with this woman. Everybody in the room knows she's a liar.
Dylan, I have to pause for 1 second.
Okay.
Because you just started work as a new writer and a phone call goes all the way up to Ron Howard. Mm-hmm. then you make a quick little inquiry as to this woman's employment and now we at the Pentagon.
I know.
Can you not just go straight to the top every time? You bring the letter, so now he got to go to the head of the network.
I mean,
wait, what network was 68 on?
Was Paramount.
That's my jam.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that, but yes. You're like, hello, Mr. Paramount. We got a question. So they got to bring it up to the top. Oh,
so they took it up to the top, but again, you know, they couldn't just fire her. They wanted to investigate, you know? And so she's coming into, like, everybody in the room knows she's a liar now, but she doesn't, I think she's, like, beginning to suspect, but she doesn't know that, like, taking this to the next level. So
there's an energy when you can tell a shift.
Right, exactly. So now she's like every day she's bringing in, you know, like flowers and gifts and cakes and she's bringing in snacks every day, like coffee every day. And she's trying to, you know, win us over.
Y'all love a snack. Tender Greens.
And honestly, like, I think she tried to assassinate me. I'm just going to go ahead and say that on the air.
She tried
to get rid of me. So one day she was like going around asking what everybody's favorite cake is or whatever. And you know, I'm like, something comes up and I say, I can't really eat that because I'm lactose intolerant. And the very next day, she brings in a tres leches cake. And I'm like, girl, I just told you I'm lactose intolerant. So not only did you bring in the cake with one milk, you bring in the cake with three milks, the three milk cake.
She said maybe three milks will kill him. Yeah. One milk, he can have.
She's
gas.
She's trying to kill me.
Three milks, maybe
like,
he'll die.
I just told you yesterday I'm lactose intolerant. You brought in the tres leches.
She was speaking language to you.
Exactly.
I was like,
she's trying to get me out of here, guys. Like, if I die, like, I was like telling my coworkers, if I die, it is this woman. Like, I didn't like off myself or anything because I'm having a great time. I'm making a ton of money. If I kill myself, it was this woman, you know, like...
Not just to be like, I need y'all to know it was her. And also, you brought up something earlier, just to circle back this one moment where she was talking about the young Afghan girl, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Who was dressing as a boy so that they could work and stuff. So didn't that turn out to be something completely different?
Yeah, so I'm, you know...
And when we have an image up here. We'll put this on the Instagram.
So when I'm, you know, when I'm sitting there thinking about, you know, like every time, like... I accuse her of something, or every time in my head I'm like, oh yeah, she's for sure lying because of this, I, you know, immediately do the opposite and say, well, maybe she's not lying because of this. And I'm sitting there thinking like, well, how does this girl know like Pashto, or like how does this girl know about Afghanistan? Like, how does she know all these stories? And like,
right,
how does she know about this little girl who's pretending to be a boy? And I'm sitting there and I think, I forget where, I might have been at like Universal Studios or somewhere. I might have been walking around the lot or some, I can't even remember where I was, but I saw a poster of The Breadwinner. It's like this animated movie about an Afghan girl who pretends to be a boy to make money for her family. And I was like, oh my God, I saw this shit at a film festival years ago. She just straight up stole this story.
It was produced by Angelina Jolie. And we're looking at a photo right now of that poster that you saw, The Breadwinner. Yeah. Baby, this is a cartoon. So even when she was doing her research to and pretend that she was in Afghanistan, like, I hope that this wasn't the only thing in the lexicon that she...
No, it wasn't the only... But she knew, like,
that
it
she
was,
studied.
Yeah, no, she studied up, like... Like, she studied up on Afghanistan.
That's like me trying to take a police exam, and I'm like, let me watch a little Paw Patrol real quick. You know what I mean?
Paw Patrol.
Make sure I know.
But she, like, I kept saying, like, well, maybe she's not lying because she knows all these little things. But then when I was like, oh, damn, she got me with The Breadwinner. She got me. And now I knew she was lying.
So now they have to investigate. We got Mary, our Marine captain. She's on edge. She's bringing snacks and cookies. She's bringing things that you can't eat, which was shade. I honestly love that for her. She was like, what are you allergic? Oh, you're allergic to that? And she's like, hey, guys, I got this milk cake, tres leches, and I got some milk to go down with it.
Right, exactly. I was like, oh, she's trying to kill me now.
And I also brought vanilla ice cream. Yeah, no, it's not vegan.
So one of my coworkers said, Dylan, like, if you are 1% wrong, like, even if, like...
It's going to backfire.
It's going to backfire. You're going to get fired.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Damn, like...
Because it also would open them up to maybe a discrimination situation.
Exactly. Because, I mean, you can't be firing, you know, the gay, Jewish, Cuban, you know, amputee or whatever.
And look, I know you're multiracial you know, as well, you know, but you're still a man. So exactly. she's got some things on you.
So I was thinking, I was like, I went to one of my... I can't remember if it was my boss or my coworker, but I said, I got a test. I'm gonna catch her in a lie right now. And so.
Oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah, I had to.
But at this point, you're scared that this might blow back on you. Cause she's riddled her way out of everything else.
Yeah, cause she's talking about like her PTSD and the VA and blah, blah, blah. And so I know she lives on like the East Side. There's no VA hospital on the East Side. There's one in downtown LA and there's one on the West Side in like Santa Monica or West LA. And so I said, oh, you're over in Silver Lake, right? I was like, how do you like that the new VA in Silver Lake that just opened up? Do you like it? And she's like, I love it. It's gorgeous. Like, it's,
oh, my
goodness. They did a really good job. You know, they take care of me over there. You know, it's a small staff.
So she leaned in.
She leaned in.
She could have easily just said, never been to that one.
Exactly. And she leaned in. Oh. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's great.
Also, why does she know by now not to trust you?
Exactly. She leaned in and I went back and I was like, I went back to my boss. I was like, there is no VA in Silver Lake. Like, She just lied again. Like, this girl is a liar. She's lying, everybody. She's lying.
You're just screaming at the top of your lungs, and they're like, Dylan, what's wrong with you?
I know, I'm banging pots and pans. You know, I'm like, I'm looking crazy.
I'm not crazy. Yeah. The easiest way to convince people you're crazy is to scream. I'm not crazy.
I'm looking crazy as hell. You know, accusing this girl of all sorts of crazy stuff. But, yeah, they got her ass. Go ahead. My bad.
Oh, no, yeah. I was just going to say, so it turns out to get, in order to get as far as she did, she had been a musician at a Hollywood producer's wedding, and she told people the Marine Captain story. Mm-hmm. So that's where it kind of started.
Right. Yeah, she was rubbing elbows with some, like, huge producers. I'm not even going to say their names because they could ruin my career right now.
Yeah, no, we don't
But, yeah, she was playing that, like, I don't know, like a wedding or something like that. And she started getting invited to these, you know, to these events, and she was rubbing elbows with all these huge producers, and they basically walked her into the room. They said, you're now repped by, I think it was CAA. She got a huge management company that signed her. They're like, this chick is going to be the future. Like, she checks all the boxes. She's super intelligent. She's got the craziest stories. Like, she's going to be the next big thing.
And like, getting an agent in Hollywood is so
hard.
To finesse like that, like, honestly, admirable.
Yeah.
So, like, towards the end of her employment, the tides had turned pretty much to where not just you alone are confronting her. Right. Other employees, we won't name, are starting to confront MC Moore as well.
Yeah. So this is actually what got her canned, I think. So, you know, she had told us that her father was dying of cancer.
Mm-hmm. And that's why she was late.
And that's why she was late. You know, made me look bad in front of everybody. So one of the executives at the studio called her father and said, you know, because your daughter works for us, like, you're a part of our family and we want to take care of you. It was very sweet. You know, they're like, we want to take care of you. Make sure you're all right. You know, let us know if you need anything. You know, to make you comfortable, whatever, because they think he's on the way out.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you don't have cancer? And he's like, no, I don't have cancer. Like, where did you get that from? Executive hung up with the phone, like, she's out of here. Like, she's gone.
MC, you know? Girl.
Yeah.
The first step in lying, you got to tell your father, like, hey, Dad, I did tell some people you got cancer, so just look like you got it.
Walk around with a limp or something.
Whenever.
Shave your head.
I might need a photo with you where you shave. We might have to do some things.
Right.
At least tell him. So she didn't tell her father at all that she was just straight up lying on him.
No.
And that's also a very triggering lie, because that is a disease that has affected many of us and our families.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, people are extremely empathetic towards that. And oftentimes because things that they faced on their own or with their family. And so to lie about that is just really despicable.
Yeah.
But to put that evil eye on your father. I'm not going to lie and say none of my living relatives are sick.
Yeah.
I kill off the same dead auntie every time I need to get an extension on a paper in college.
She done died 9 times.
Right. I done changed the date on that OB, on that funeral program, but she gone. I know she looking down on me like, you go, girl. You get that extension. You know what I mean?
You got the obituary template on your computer so you can change the dates on it.
Yes. Sunrise. Yeah. That always stays the same, but that sunset be moving around.
Yeah, but they got her out of there after that. But, you know, after she, I mean, she got paid out. She got her whole, like, they paid because she's in the WGA, you know. And
shout out to our union.
Yeah, shout out to the union. And she got paid out. So she got paid her entire contract because she scammed. She won. She lost, but she won. You know what I mean? And then afterwards, because the studio didn't want to talk about it, they didn't tell anybody she was a scam artist.
Of course not.
So she went to another. She got hired on another show. And somebody had to call down to that show and be like, yo, don't hire this chick.
And I love that her reps and everyone were like, well, we'll get you another job, girl. Don't even worry about that. We are she got paid out. So I'm sure they were happy about that. But upon more digging, like, didn't you discover that she was scamming in music, too?
Oh, she was legitimately Frank Abagnale Jr. from Catch Me If You Can. Yeah. She was.
Now she just needs to write the movie.
She was Francesca. Oh, we're writing the TV show.
Okay,
we're
good.
Show.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you beat her to it.
Yeah. Francesca Abagnale. She was scamming everybody. She scammed the music industry. I think it was
even getting Trey Songz to come to her studio to record for charity.
Right.
Now, we don't care about Trey getting scammed because he's a nasty man.
Exactly. But she had him come out. I think it was Trey Songz. She had him come out, record a song. She was like getting, like, you know, having these artists do, like, charity music for, you know, for organizations that didn't exist or that she wasn't really connected to.
Wow.
And then it turns out that she also said that she was a doctor as well.
Listen,
like, not even kidding. I was.
Why not? MC and MD.
So there's an organization, I think it was Team Rubicon, don't quote me. It was one of these organizations that helps vets, mm-hmm. and they go around, or no, I think it was Doctors Without Borders.
Not the big one.
Yeah, so they go around and they, you know, they help folks in different countries, stuff like that. They, you know, respond to, like, disasters and things mm-hmm. like that. And she joined this organization saying she was a doctor, graduated from Johns Hopkins, all this stuff.
She joined Doctors Without Borders.
I think it was
Doctors.
It was one of those organizations.
One of those, yeah. And wasn't a doctor.
She's in the field arguing with real doctors about how they're doing their job. Isn't that the craziest thing ever?
Also, that's the worst way that you can impersonate a doctor is by using, like, a charitable organization where doctors are actually taking a pay cut to help people who are sick and need it and don't have the resources. And you over there distracting people. And what did she think? She probably thought, well, if we in a third world country or developing nation, they're not going to know I'm not a real doctor.
She was in the ER saying, I concur. You know what I mean?
Like,
she was
stats.
Exactly.
CC.
Give me an EKG. Like, just saying, like, imagine pretending to be a doctor and then, like, trying to go do doctor things. You know what I mean? It was crazy.
Yeah, listen,
it was crazy.
She had the audacity. And clearly, like, would you say that she was a good storyteller? Because I feel
she was a terrible storyteller,
really?
Which is even the worst part. She was not a good storyteller. She had this weird, like,
you said
vibe.
Everybody was crying when she was telling the story. But you said when she regurgitated the movie, they were like, damn, it sounds good.
But, you know, they were like, yeah, she's not sociable, or, like, she doesn't really know how to, but, like, we get the point, and it's because this poor girl has seen so much, you know, she's been through so much, but she, like, her writing wasn't that great, like, it was just, like, the whole thing, it was crazy. But actually, I don't even know if I told you this, a couple years later, my homeboy TJ, he was at an event, and he's talking to a couple producers, and these producers are talking about this girl who worked for a show called 68 Whiskey. They found out about her. They were about to give her, like, $1 million to make an indie film or something like that.
Oh, wow.
She told these producers that her family escaped Cuba. They escaped Castro.
Cuba. Okay, escaped Cuba.
Yeah. And so at an event, she brought her mother, and the producers are like, tell us, you know, like, you know, you're so brave, blah, blah, blah. You know, tell us about your time in Cuba. And she looked at him and she's like, oh, honey, I'm from Maryland. I've never
What's going on with her parents, bro?
Like, I never
the
been,
parents are fumbling the bag.
I know.
Why did she tell her mom?
I've never been to Cuba in my life, you know what I mean? And they canned her too, but, like, she was still out scamming years later.
MC, if you're going to bring your mama somewhere, you got to tell her in the car. So, okay, like, I know we from Maryland, but we need to talk about your escape from Cuba. Okay. Mira, escúchame, mami, okay?
Okay.
We have to go to the beach, and we need to talk about your escape from Cuba on the beach, okay? Can we do that?
It was wild.
Just walk with me.
She was still out in the wild scamming folks, man.
She got,
like,
so close,
her.
Bro. Like,
yeah,
that's what I
time.
Love about it. It's like she's getting, like, she's obviously convincing people enough. What's frustrating is like, girl, you don't talk to your parents enough, because what's going on?
I think what I heard is that she moved back to Maryland or Tennessee or wherever her parents live, and they got her ass on lockdown now. They're like, you can't go outside no more. you know what I mean? But yeah, she
every time you go outside, you lying.
Yeah.
And then people calling us.
She got paid, though. I mean, she got probably six figures to lie about being a Marine.
Right.
Which
come
is
to
crazy.
Work late every day and have a little wang dang doodle.
That's the American dream.
It is.
God bless her. You know, I salute you, Marine Corps captain. But you know what's funny? You know what's funny is every Veterans Day, I send her a text saying, Happy Veterans Day, girl.
Dylan, please.
I know. It's the petty in me. I'm sorry. I got to.
Like, never forget.
Never forget.
Americans here. American hero. Okay? You fought for our freedom.
I know. Thank you for your service, girl. Thank you for your service.
Wow, Dylan, that was such a ride. And
crazy.
I love that it is your life.
I don't know if I love it, but, you know, I was there, so...
And I'm not taking it back, okay?
Yeah.
That's going to be my new job, loving that this is your life, since I ain't got no job. But we always ask on this podcast, where would you like to be found? Anywhere people can follow you? Anything you have coming out that you want to promote?
Yeah, just hit me on the Instagrams. You know, DYLLYP, the Dilly P on Instagrams and Threads. I'm not so much on Twitter anymore, you know, because this is dying slowly. But I do have that book coming out at the end of the year called Roadside on Chicago Review Press. And there's a TV announcement coming, but I can't get too detailed on that.
Ooh, but congratulations.
Yeah. I might have to hire Mary, the Marine Corps captain. You know what I mean?
Listen, okay, she might be a decent actor. And that's amazing. Roadside, y'all, get into this. And all these things that are coming out. I love this for you. This is obviously, y'all can tell Dylan is an excellent storyteller. So go ahead and pick up that book as soon as you can.
I appreciate you.
Yes. He may not have any respect for me or my show or no, who I am no, or anything I've done professionally or otherwise.
I'm going to get you on the show, girl.
See, and he's still trying to hire me. How do you know I don't have things going on?
Girl, we're going to get you paid.
Oh my goodness. Well, y'all, you can find me at D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms, and you can follow the show and see one photo. And I'm going to put several photos of Dylan just for fun. I'm going to have a good time with this one. At Scam Goddess Pod on all platforms. And congregation, you can pre-order my book that Hachette Book Group hired me to write.
Hell yeah.
At Hachette Books. Okay, it's called Scam Goddess. And yeah, y'all get into it. That'll be coming out in the fall. But congregation, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Stay scheming. Yes, thank you for being here, Dylan. This was fantastic. This is such a wild ride, and people are going to love it. And congregation, y'all get out there, and y'all stay captaining, okay?
Get that money.
Get that money, no matter what. See, that's why when we were talking about resumes earlier and, like, cover letters. No, we ain't writing cover letters no more. We writing cover lies,
exactly.
Okay? You qualify for any job you want. If you see it and believe it, you can achieve it.
Right. Go be that Marine Corps captain, but don't do it around me.
Yeah, and maybe don't do it anywhere where anybody could get in touch with the Pentagon because apparently it's a felony. You know what I mean? So maybe pick some other things to lie about, but y'all get out there. All right, congregation. Yep, stay captaining. Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar. And our audio engineer is Sam Keeper. Research for the show is done by Caitlin Brand. Stay scamin'.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.